Blog Talk Radio.
We're back, but now we're on Wednesdays. Okay, I'm through with this.
He likes you a lot. Because there's no way David Wilson's going to be getting 25 to 30 carries having Brandon Jacobs there. The only other running back in the team right now that is fully healthy is Michael Cox, and I don't know if Coughlin has that much faith in him right now to have a much more meaningful role other than kick returner. So, Randy, I ask you, what's going on here?
After watching that game the other night and watching David Wilson fumble the ball twice and missing blocks here and there, I think he was missing blocks. He was blocking somebody who wasn't even running the field at that point. He was on the ground, turning the ball over.
He's trying to impede someone,
yeah,
but not really doing a good job of doing that.
It was at halftime, people were sitting there talking about who was going to be coming and being the starting running back. Andre Brown is out. David Wilson is having fumbling issues. And bringing back Brandon Jacobs down here. Then they flirted with Mike Turner. They worked out with McGee, and then bring back Brandon Jacobs.
And you know the only reason why they brought him in is because he obviously knows the playbook. Because otherwise, there's no other reason to bring him in. You can't convince me in any way, shape, or form that Willis McGahee is not a better player than Brandon Jacobs.
I think the balance of the playbook is very, very important in this situation, and I'm cool at it. I'm personally glad to see Brandon Jacobs back with
really?
It. I think so. Listen, at the end of the day, Amon Bradshaw was the emotional leader on that offense. He got the team fired up, but the problem was he didn't practice. He just didn't practice during the week.
You notice all the Giants good players the last few years don't practice? Tex Morales never practiced.
Well, but at the same time, like, you want your starting running back to be able to practice. And then, Dude Wilson's a 22-year-old kid. He's not ready for the big time yet.
That's quite apparent right now. But, so yeah, let me ask you this. Do you get the feeling more and more that David Wilson is just essentially a first-round kick returner?
Yes. He had a couple big runs during the preseason. And during the end of last year, too. He played very, very well.
But he's obviously not the bell cow. That has been proven without a doubt over the weekend. And listen, look, you had a bad game. Everyone is entitled to have a bad game. Steven really over the weekend fumbled like two times. One of them actually counted. But he was benched the whole second half of that game against the Bills, too.
Listen, we agreed in the beginning of the show not to go back too much on for this game.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to say two things about the game on Sunday night. One, that game should have been a lot worse than it was.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's no – with turning the ball over six times, that game should have been a blowout. Giants should not have been in that game, and they had a chance to win that game. Okay? And then the other question you start bringing up, taking away from the Giants for a second, what does that say about the Dallas Cowboys?
Anything to take shot at the Cowboys. Listen,
I'm asking a real honest question.
I agree with you.
What does that say about the Dallas Cowboys when they turn the ball over six times and have opportunities to put points on the board, and it's still a close game at the end of the game, and then when they can't even run the ball, Giants can't run the ball at all, and then Eli Manning throw for 450 yards.
The Giant offense actually accumulated 500 yards, and really nicely for us non-statisticians, so we don't have to go too crazy with the numbers, or for you anyway. 450 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. But, all right. Anyway, we shouldn't get too much into the game, but I guess I'll ask you this question then. Do you feel like the Cowboys were a factor in those turnovers that occurred, or do you simply think it was just David Wilson not protecting the ball properly?
I think the first turnover, where Kelly threw it right to DeMarcus Ware, miscommunication. I think four out of the six turnovers were the Giants being careless and throwing the ball away and or dropping the ball. I think the Cowboys caused two of those turnovers. The last turnover was just a joke.
That's a tip ball. You ever notice when Eli Manning, when he has tip passes, they never go down to the ground. They go up in the air for anybody to grab, like a girl on a prom date, basically. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's very easy to grab. I don't know.
The other problem I had with the Giants was Victor Cruz was made to look like an all-pro receiver.
Well, he is kind of an all-pro receiver, you know. Listen, I said this is day one. I like Victor Cruz. I don't think he deserves the money he got, but listen, he obviously is a fit for this system. And if he's in this system, he's going to perform like an all-pro athlete. Look, all these Giants receivers had great games. They all went over 100 yards. Brett Myers actually had a good game And if you look at it fantasy-wise, he also actually had a good game when you look at it from that viewpoint. And we'll get into that later. But we don't want to discuss what happened with that game, because that's been dissected, and again, dissected and rejected as much as can be. What does this tell you about the rest of the season for the Giants? Is this going to be an issue, you think, the turnovers?
I think they're going to get it under control. Eli is an elite quarterback. I think he's going to get these under control. The problem with Eli, if you start comparing him to Tom Brady and even Peyton a little bit, I think it's a different type of style. I think Eli's got more athletic receivers and has more weapons than guys like Peyton and Tom do. Especially Tom Brady.
Well, right now.
Right now, Tom Brady doesn't have anything going with him right now. Apparently, you're starting wide receiver this week for the Patriots.
I got the call, so I'm hoping to get the clean bill of health to go do
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry. I read the message wrong. It says we need us in here to carry the water.
Well, screw you, hippie. That's all you got to say to that.
I apologize for that. I was going to say, misread on my part. Listen, the Giants are lucky enough to have a guy like Ruben Randall, Victor Cruz, and Nick Chinnix who can go. He can throw the ball and go and get it, just like Plaxico used to do. Victor sadly has to be right in that right spot for Victor to catch it. Last year, Victor suffered what we like to call alligator arms.
And it's always at the Cowboy game.
So we
spent enough time talking about that because listen, it was dreadful for us Giants fans to go see that, you know. Lord knows it's going to be a bad second week because you got the Denver Broncos coming in with Peyton Manning having thrown 7 touchdowns on the first game of the year. But before we get to that, Randy, real fast, Chet, shocked, not shocked? Are you surprised that Rex Ryan isn't as fat as he used to be?
I was more shocked than I had fall asleep during the game. That's how bored I was during that game. I'm not going to lie to you. I was going back and forth. I was switching. I like the Red Zone channel, but the problem was I'm not going to purchase it.
It's expensive, too.
And I watched the Jets and the Giants. So I was going back and forth to CBS's coverage of the Pulse-Patriot game, which I found much more exciting than the Tampa Jets football game. The person who invented Tampa football, that's not the guy in my mind. I'm not going to lie. Channel 2, I was very excited about the Buffalo Bills New England game because CJ, you know, the field played great.
He played okay.
Second half, he played great. Tom Brady, after seeing some of his receivers drop balls, basically in his head.
Him and Julian Edelman. I'm going to say that now. I know people who are big Patriot fans and people who are homers for the so-called big team winning. I was not impressed with anything that New England did on Sunday. I'll be honest with you. I think New England's going to have a hard time this year. They obviously have a lot of offensive issues at wide receiver and tight end. This guy that we kept hearing about, Zach Sunfeld, who everyone is saying is going to be the next big fantasy stud, obviously was not. In fact, the only thing he did was tip a ball to a cornerback from Buffalo and tear his hamstring up, or pull it, I should say, not tear. So I think they're going to have a lot of problems this year. I think they actually might be more relatively needing their defense to step up for them this year as opposed to their offense. And I think it's going to be a problem, you know, continuously, and so maybe Gronk comes back. You know, but Danny Amendola was out again this week, most likely against the Jets, and all they have now is Julian Edelman and this kid, Kendrell Thompson, who didn't really look all that good. So, I think they're going to have a lot of problems, Randy. I don't know about you, but I don't see a dominating Patriots team this year.
I like Scott. And as I mentioned, I still like the Miami Dolphins.
See, I think you're a weirdo, because that's still... Even the Bad Patriot team is better than the Miami Dolphins team.
I actually just thought you were just going to stop it. You're just a weirdo. And you wouldn't have been the first person who's ever said that either. So, and that's fine.
But anything else you want to add on the Jets? What were your thoughts on Geno Smith?
Well, I want to actually go once to the Giants first.
Oh, that's okay. All right. Okay.
My attitude right now with the New York Football Giants, and we want you to chime in at 760-283-0846 on what you saw from the Giants-Cowboys game, besides the fact that Jerry Jones was talking smack after the game.
Hanging out with LeBron James and Hulk Hogan.
I wish he would have gotten body slammed on the field. One of the thoughts also I had with the Giants, the running back situation is going to take care of itself. You know, I think Brandon Jacobs is going to play very well for them. I don't think you're...
I hope he's on my fantasy team now.
We'll get into more fantasy football later. One of the things I never felt, because it was the Cowboys and the way the game was going, you still in the fourth quarter, if Eno and I kept it close, Eno and I might be able to do something. And what was really even more disturbing was that it felt like balls on the ground for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the Giants could have had it. If the Giants could have had it, I think they could have gotten two plays off.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, probably just one real big one. I will say this, though, and I think we both agree on this. I think if the Giants would recover that onside kick, I think the Giants would have won. There's no part of me that felt that Dallas would have held on to win that game. That's just the way I feel. Just my thoughts on this, and then we should probably move on unless you have anything else to add as far as the Giants season goes. They got a rough game this week against Denver. And, you know, history would probably tell you that there's almost no chance Peyton Manning has another 7-touchdown performance this week. But, again, who in the right mind would have thought the Giants would have had a 6-turnover performance first game of the season and then almost come close to winning the game? So, anything is possible. Do I think the Giants win this game? I certainly do. Do I feel extremely confident about it? I don't right now because I think there's just too many issues with the running back position right now. I'm actually was impressed with the defense for the most part. I thought they played well, considering the position that the offense put them in a lot. So I thought 10-11 wins when we had talked earlier in the year was a possibility. So I think more now this is a 9-7, 8-8, 10-6 kind of team.
Well, you're backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that might be more of a realistic angle. Again, though. They barely lost the game, but they had 6 turnovers. So maybe we should look at the bright side of that. Like, as bad as they played, they almost pulled off that game. So I mean, I guess that's the only thing. If you're a Giants fan, take light in that. You know, that they almost pulled off a game where they had no business even being a part of. And quite honestly, by the time the game started, I would have preferred that the game was a blowout because I hate staying up to almost 12 o'clock at night to watch my team lose by 5. Just completely, utterly, like, disturbing to me.
This is why I don't like Sunday night games.
It's just to a point. I'd rather have the 1 o'clock game. I hate the 4 o'clock game as it is. So I'd like to know if I'm going to be mad from 4 o'clock on because I can let the evil get out of me. So I have to wait till like 12 o'clock. I'm evil all day the next day.
I hate the Sunday night game.
I like watching it. I just don't like my team being in it, I should say.
Can you imagine, oh, by the way, Yankees are already 1-0 on Baltimore. I know it's so pointless to bring that up right now, but it is what it is. I want to pull up the Giants schedule, because I'm not talking about the Giants yet. Not by a long shot. Are you okay? Since Colin made some comments today about David Wilson, we'll get into that in a few minutes. I ask you, Jose, you were saying before about the Giants and their schedule. I want to go back over the schedule one more time. We'll go and we'll do wins loss. Do you remember what you had last time?
Yeah, I think I had between 11-5 and 10-6.
Okay, I think I had 10-6, right?
I can barely remember what I did yesterday, dude. So let's say we both had them at 11-5, and we'll go on from there. I know I had them beating the Cowboys.
Okay, here we go. So they're home. Denver this week.
I might be 0-2.
Carolina.
1-2.
Kansas City.
2-2.
Philadelphia.
That's probably going to be a loss now because of what Philadelphia looks like they might be able to do.
Okay. Short week against Chicago.
Oh, God. That's probably going to be a loss. 2-4.
Home for Minnesota on Monday night.
3-4.
At Philly.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They'll win that game. So I'll say 4-4.
Bye week.
They won't lose.
Oakland.
They'll win.
Home for Green Bay Sunday night.
I'm going to say they lose that game.
Okay. Home for Dallas.
They'll win that game.
At Washington.
They'll win that game.
At San Diego.
I want to say win, but I'm going to say loss. Don't lose that one.
Home for Seattle.
That's a loss.
At Detroit.
That's a win.
Home for Washington.
Did I have them losing the Washington game, the first one? I'll say they'll take this one.
Okay, so what's the record here?
I think I had them at 8-8. I think.
Yes, I think you had them at 7-9.
7-9, was it? I wasn't keeping complete check, but I think you're right. It's probably 7-9. I had them 4-4 in the first half. Let me see. Win Oakland, loss Green Bay. So that's 5-5. Winning Dallas 6-5. Losing 6-6. 6-7. 7-8. 6-8. No, I have an 8-8. 8-8 record. So I'm going 4-4 both halves of the year.
All right.
That's probably not enough to get them into the playoffs.
I have them winning Denver this week.
You think they're going to beat Denver this week?
Okay.
They might. You know what? They might. You know, again, you have no idea what's happened. Peyton Manning could have the game he had last year, 4 interceptions, that game against Atlanta, second week of the season. He could have a bad game like that. It's possible. You're absolutely right. I'm not seeing it right now, though.
I think they beat Denver. I think they beat Carolina. I think they beat Kansas City. And I think they beat Philadelphia.
Even after what you saw on Monday? Or
yes.
Mostly so. Okay.
Then I think they lose to Chicago.
Okay, so that's 3-2.
I think they beat Minnesota at home.
That's 4-2.
I think they lose to Philly in Philly.
And 4-3. That's really like, hold up. So right now they're 4-4. And what you got based on?
And then they beat Oakland.
5-4.
And then they beat Green Bay at home.
So you're giving them Green Bay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, 6-4.
They beat Dallas.
7-4.
Lose to Washington.
7-5.
Beat San Diego.
8-5. The Seattle game is going to be the game that's going to determine if they make the playoffs or not. I can tell you that much right now.
I'm going to give them a loss.
So that's 8-6.
A win against Detroit and Washington.
So you haven't won 10-6.
I haven't gone 10-6.
I'm not feeling it as much.
Because if Dallas is as good as they said and they were able to stay in the game with 6 turnovers, I'm using them as a giant fan.
No, I agree with you totally. I don't know if Dallas is as good.
Because
but then, and then maybe they are. Maybe they are as good as people are saying they are.
Okay, here's the other part of it. And I'm sorry for dissecting the schedule a little bit. Okay, I think Denver is that good. I think Denver is a Super Bowl caliber team. Carolina doesn't scare me. Okay? Kansas City doesn't scare me that much. You know, Kansas City looks good, but Denver is Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So that doesn't prove anything. What Philadelphia, listen, I've been the one who said I didn't think Washington was that good. So what Philadelphia did to Washington doesn't surprise me. I said before the season started,
I think you're looking at that wrong. You're looking at that the wrong way.
But I've also said Philadelphia could be the wild card of this division. And I've said that before multiple times. So that doesn't surprise me too much. Chicago is what it is, okay? Chicago is Jay Cutler, good receivers. They're poised to make a good run. They were last year, too. They just didn't make the playoffs. Okay, they're a good team. Minnesota.
They got Peterson, so you never know.
They got Peterson, but like our good friend Dave Bear said over at ProFootballMock.com on the quarterback for Facebook. See how we're playing him and doing him a favor?
Yes.
They had Christian Hunter as a team. Who are you? I'm not going to recommend Minnesota Vikings. So the quarterback actually just kept spending the whole year in Peterson 20 times a game. Minnesota, I think this is one of those games where John can take this one. I think they'll be Minnesota at home. I'm game showing the win at home because I think they're going to split that series.
All right. Well, let's not go any further than that right now because it's way too early than to go that much further. We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Let's go over to the Jets. And let's see if the win this weekend changed anything for you.
No. No. I actually thought they would win this game.
I honestly don't remember. They actually went 3-1 in the preseason. The Jets did.
See, I don't follow preseason as much anymore. I don't follow for record. I just follow see what I see.
I'm gonna go with you on the Jets record.
So let's just go the first half of the season, the first 8 games. Let's not go too much further than that, though. But all right. So they beat Tampa Bay, which I actually thought they would. I thought they would beat Tampa Bay. All right. You got at New England next game. This
goes I now with all the injuries and everything else, I wouldn't be surprised if That's a W.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was if they won that game either, but they're not going to win it. They'll find a way to lose that game. But I'm going to say that's still a loss.
You know, after watching Buffalo, I actually have some hope for Buffalo right now. I actually like the way when I saw
Buffalo has better talent than the Jets do right now.
So I'm going to go with the Jets. I originally even had a win for the Jets. I'm going to go with a loss for Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a loss for the Jets. I think I'm 1-2 right now.
Tennessee.
They didn't look good against Pitt, and they won that game.
That game was probably the ugliest game of the day as far as actual football.
But, well, Kansas City, Jacksonville on one side. I'm going to give this to the Jets. I think they'll win because I just think their defense is better.
Are you giving the Jets a holy shot in hell against the Atlanta Falcons?
Yes, because they have a good defense. That's the thing. I think the Jets have a good defense, and if their defense holds strong, I think they're going to be in a lot more games than people think. I still think Atlanta will win, but I give the Jets a chance. So right now, if we're looking at the first half of the schedule, 2-2, 2-3, I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh. And we'll put them at 3-3.
You follow me to the death limit during the offseason. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be as good this year as they've been. I think they've taken a step back this year. I said that since day one, and everyone's looking at me.
I don't remember you saying that, but I'll take your word for it. But I'm going to give them one against Pittsburgh.
All right, good talk.
New England, week after that. Yes.
I think that's the game where they come back and get the crap beat out of them.
Yeah, so they'll be 3-4. Cincinnati, I'm not a big fan of Cincinnati. But... you know what? They'll probably win this game because it's the kind of game a team that might be down I would win because I'm not as sure that Cincinnati as a lot of other people are. So I'm going to say 4-4, and then just before the bye week, we'll throw in New Orleans just for the sake of throwing it in. You know, the last time they played New Orleans, they played them tough. I mean, actually, I think it was the last – that was the game before Drew Brees started his streak of touchdown passes. I think the Jets held him up a pass, touchdown pass that day, and the Jets won 14-7, I think. And what was the defensive stalwart of the game? I believe, or some little mediocre score of that degree, maybe like a 24-14 game. But I'm not sold on New Orleans this year either. They didn't look that good against Atlanta. I know they won the game, but I didn't see the game, but New Orleans is supposed to be running up and down the field, and they only scored 23 points. I don't think Atlanta's defense is that good. So I'm going to say the Jets lose, but I think it's going to be a lot more competitive because I think the Jets defense is actually a lot better than we're giving it credit for.
The key is keeping them off the field and rested. You want to keep your offense on there as long as you possibly can. Plus, Geno Smith didn't really do much for me. I thought he was better as the game went on.
He never looked like he was overwhelmed by the situation.
No,
I don't think you're giving him enough credit by saying that. Listen, this is a guy that was set to not even be ready. Everyone said that Geno Smith shouldn't even be playing. They would have been better off waiting a couple of games before he even went into the game. They started game one of the season. Everyone thought he was going to get obliterated, and he actually threw very well, 24 for 38, over 250 yards passing. Listen, I don't think we're giving him enough credit for playing as well as he did. I'm not saying he played great, but he played a lot better than I think a lot of people were willing to give him credit for. And that was against Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay has a great run defense, so it's basically on Geno Smith to win this game for them. And listen, he did it with his leg, he did it with his arm, and then a stupid penalty by Tampa Bay at the end of the game. What more can you ask for?
That's a good point. You bring up a valid point there. I can't argue too much with what you're saying. I don't want to argue with you. If it's okay, if you don't mind, I can argue with you on that.
Well, why don't we move on to our next topic, sucker?
Well, I think we need to have a debate.
Well, that's what we're going to debate on.
I'm glad to ask that question. 760-283-0846.
I'm always willing to knock you down the peg.
I don't like you. Who would you rather have quarterback your team, especially after what you saw Thursday night? Peyton or Eli?
Right now? I think I'd take a page out of Chris Collinsworth. Look, I'd rather have Peyton Manning for the first 57 minutes than I'd rather have Eli the last three. Can I do that?
No.
Can I bring him in like the Yankees bring in Mo?
No.
No?
I appreciate you asking.
Listen, I would be happy with either or. I mean, if it's a big-time game, it's Eli. If it's just a random game, just chanting, because I think we've seen the record dictate that. That's the way you would go if you were being logical about it. Big-time games, Eli's just a better quarterback. You know, if it was a regular game, you know, the opportunity to win, you would go with Peyton. Listen, Eli Manning's a good quarterback, borderline great, but he has never done the stuff that Peyton Manning has done. I mean, Peyton Manning's had a record that was over 40 years old, you know, 7 touchdown passes a game. And remarkably, it wasn't like they were garbage touchdown passes either. Those touchdown passes were all actually needed. So, you know, I was happy that he didn't tie that record in a situation where he was just trying to run up the score.
You and I have had this debate and this argument in the past about the top quarterbacks and where Eli and Peyton fit in this conversation. And I know you've got mad at me just because of the Aaron Rodgers aspect of it.
Because you don't respect him enough. That's the problem. You don't give the guy his due. By the way, your chin looks like it's green. Like, is it green with envy with the Jets, or was it that green muffin you were eating before?
You're sort of blind right now for the sunglasses you had on.
Wow. But you don't like to give Rodgers the credit that he is old and dude. The guy is by far the best quarterback in the NFL right now. There's no question about it. The fact that you even say that he may not make your top 10, I want to smack you sometimes. You say it with such conviction. Like, you're not saying it just to get me mad. You're saying it because you truly feel this way. If Herm Edwards was on the show with us, he would smack you upside the head. You'd be like, come on, man.
I don't think he's like, we're talking about practice. No, that's Allen Iverson.
But seriously, no, but you really do not like Aaron Rodgers that much.
I just don't want to grade him on potential. It's
potential! He's running on the deal with! What are you talking about, potential? Really?
All right, fine. He's okay. Well, I think the Packers are capable.
Oh, I want to hit you so hard right now.
Okay. My opinion is I'm going to see what I can in the bank. It's been very, very simple from the beginning. You can always say, look at the rings. But I'm not even going that route.
I don't even think that's a legitimate argument anymore.
I think it is.
I'll tell you why I don't think the ring issue is a legitimate argument.
I think it's simple. And one of the reasons why I was playing everybody so much when we had this conversation about the quarterbacks is because Eli's fourth quarter numbers are amazing. And his comeback a couple years ago and the way he performs in the playoffs is great. It's amazing. Peyton's every single time I watch Peyton play, listen, they didn't win the Super Bowl because of Peyton Manning, the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, my God. Did you really just shut up now? Just don't say another word the rest of the show. I'll take over. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and everyone who listens to the show that me and Mandy are both big Giant fans. But I will tell you right now, you know what anyone will tell you about those Eli Manning sets where he's so great in the fourth quarter? Come on, you get the rest of the game instead of making every damn game a heart attack for us Giant fans. That's what I will tell you, and that's what any other rational fan will tell you. Don't tell me about fourth quarter sets. I love fourth quarter sets. I want to win. I just want to win. I want a 20-point blowout every now and then. Is that what I have to ask for?
I'm sorry, can you start again? I was paying attention.
I'm going to hit you with this one. No, seriously, but that's all fine and good. But you know what? If you did your job the first three quarters, and I know that's not on Eli, because that's all I have to do with the defense too. It's a lot of people can control. You can only control what he can control. But those are numbers that, to me, you can look at it from the viewpoint of, like, well, you know what? If he didn't have to bring his team back every time, he didn't have a reasonable, like, easy game every now and then, you know, we wouldn't need you fourth quarter stats. You know what Peyton Manning doesn't have any fourth quarter comebacks? He doesn't need to. He doesn't stop the first three quarters. Yeah. You have nothing to say because you don't rank. Anyway, Mandy's out dumbfounded because I have proved him.
Good talk.
Yeah. I'm wrong, Randy.
I want to move around. If you're ready, I think if you're done with this topic, I think it's time to move on to something else.
Yeah, well, let me move on to it. There was one more thing I did want to...
760-283-0846 if you want to join into any of our conversation here.
I want to...
backsportspage.com.
want to throw in something for us, you know, for you guys listening on the show, or maybe you can even, we'll go on our Facebook page, throw it out there, and then we can move on to Randy's next topic. But just something to think about, you know, cause like, we were talking about Peyton Manning and how good he is, and, you know, whether he's the greatest quarterback ever, or he's just in that top five, top three. Well, when is it good, or when is it okay, and, you know, if you guys listening can tell us, you know, when is it okay to call someone great? At what point does someone in their career, any sport, not just football, but any sport, has to be before you start considering them great? You know, hit us up, tell us what you think, give us a call, you know, write us on Facebook, let us know. There's a lot of talk about this with Peyton Manning, you know, the last couple of days, and a lot of the stuff I heard kind of bothered the hell out of me. But it wasn't anything to do with Peyton Manning, it was more with Colin Kaepernick. But again, let us know what you think. We're not going to get into that today. So, now we'll let Randy take back control of the show. What's next on the agenda then?
What's next on the agenda is, before we get away from football here, because there's a lot of baseball news we got to get to locally here in the New York metropolitan area.
Sure.
I think the people would like to know how we do in our respective fantasy football leagues.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell me first, Randy, because we don't know how I did.
Well, we're both in two leagues, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't we rotate?
Okay.
Okay. I'll go first with the Back Sports Page League, which has this year we were very lucky. We actually had pretty much all staff members. In the past, we haven't had staff. All staff.
I wasn't invited because I'm too good.
Actually, you were invited.
I never got this email. Just the last email. It's like the magic bullet. Where is it? I never got it.
Well, I can say, honestly, this is not good.
By the way, I just want to let everyone know, even though Randy won, he didn't win correctly because his second pick was Peyton Manning. Just so we all know, so real fantasy diehards know, your second round pick being a quarterback is such a no-no. Randy's giving me the finger. Both mentally and physically. But, all right, Randy, so what did she do? Tell us what she did.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Who did she beat? Who did she beat this week?
One of our main people, Nick Singleton. And he basically had a very good team. I'll pull up the matchup. And she was a recap. That's right, baby. We were going to beat. Oh, that's awesome.
I saw that today. I actually just saw that. Nothing was mentioned about my team.
Why would your recap be? Why would anything about your team be mentioned in my recap?
Hey.
All right. The final score was 232-152. This was Cam Newton. Do you agree? He had a wide receiver from Green Bay that can play.
No, he played. He just didn't do anything. He was in the game. He said money.
Torrey Smith, Adrian Peterson, Sean Ramsey, Fred. He had another team.
Again, you know what? It's just the luck of the draw. There's no science to this. I mean, if there was, it wouldn't be fun.
I had,
excuse me.
I, of course, had Peyton Manning going 62.9 points.
And how much you won by again? How much you won by again? The Peyton Manning dropping.
It's 232-152. Points. It's still won by 20. You don't have them. I had San Francisco defense, San Francisco's kicker. I had Max Trump, who gave me 31 points on Monday night. I Jakeem Rogers didn't give me anything. Miles Austin gave me 7 points, which I expect him to. Vernon Davis for today, 7.7 points, 21.8.
Yeah, let me tell you, folks, fantasy football, if you had any tight end other than Jimmy Graham, you probably had a great week. If you had Jimmy Graham, you got average numbers this week. That's what I'm going to say. It was very disappointing.
That's about Vernon Davis had great numbers this week.
That's what I'm saying. If you had any tight end but Jimmy Graham, you got good numbers. Right?
Oh, okay.
You're not paying attention.
Okay. Let me ask you, had Jimmy Graham.
Yes.
Okay. That's Chris Johnson, might have been my blunder pickup at this point. Maybe 7 points is their second running back. Not good. was on the court for me. I told those to dump it, and that's 24.9 points. He's not going to be that every single week.
He might. Actually, he might.
Reggie Wayne gave me 15.6. The Kim Knicks gave me 11.4. And Brandon Marshall gave me
16.4. Nice. I don't have everyone memorizing mine. First one, I'll just push you like this. In my first week of a new league that I joined this year, part of the Fail on Follies League, I defeated the defending champion 196.43 to 145.32. I hate that they have decimal points for these things, but it is what it is. My big players for that week were LeSean McCoy and Reggie Bush, both putting up 41 points each. Andrew Luck, okay game, he put up 35 points. He actually outpointed Drew Brees, who I was playing against in that, because I was happy about that. Had a decent game from Amendola. I got nothing from Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace is a disappointment to me, and he should be a disappointment to his family and friends. So upset by that. Jimmy Graham, again, wasn't... I expected more. When you get the best tight end in the league in the draft, you expect more, and the 14 points he delivered for me was not anything I was expecting. Steven Jackson did okay. He was my flex guy. Did okay, over 20 points. And I had a New England defense. Wasn't bad, wasn't terrible. And Janikowski was okay for me. So, my opponent had no one that was really worried about in that game. I mean, I had to wait out the Monday night game because you had Ryan Matthews. But otherwise, I won the game once LeSean McCoy stepped on the field and had his big game against Washington. So, that was my first team.
In my second league, I lost 176 to 156.
You got pwned.
I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it like that. All right, I'll go over who I have on this team. Can you tell me? Okay.
You don't even like your team.
The Cardinals. The Cardinals defense. As we got the funky music in the background, that's not even coming over there. The Cardinals defense, Houston's kicker. Miles Austin gave me 17 points for this league.
How did you get 17 in that league?
It's like an NFL.com league.
Oh, man.
It's all... Greg Olson, tight end from Carolina, got me 10.6. Mike Wallace from Miami got me 2.5.
Again, Mike Wallace was the bane of my existence last week.
No, Vincent Jackson from Tampa gave me 22.4. Ronnie White got me 3.9 for Atlanta. LeSean McCoy, 24.9 points, so I got him in both leagues. Jamal Charles, 19 fantasy points. And Colin Kaepernick is the starting quarterback, got me 36.6
nice.
Points.
Nice.
So
and you lost by 20.
I lost by 20. He didn't even play a second running back.
How much did you lose by 20?
I don't know. This is very, very disturbing to me. And once I said my bench players are going to be very upset with me. I have Flacco on my bench. Emmanuel Sanders on my bench. Quinn Daniels on my bench, 23-7.
Oh, boy.
Russell Wilson on my bench as well.
Well, I think he had a great game this week.
Yeah, so. And that's my second league, Jose.
Well, my second league, which is the Dutch House League, which is the more grueling of the two leagues, we also won 112-97. Had to wait out the Monday night games. Basically. We had Andrew Luck in that league as well, 23 points from him. We had Adrian Peterson because we got the first pick in that draft. He did well, but he didn't do great. If you all, you know, we saw him play, saw the highlights, you know, it wasn't a dominating game, although he did score 3 touchdowns. My second running back, and this is where I'm very ashamed of myself. My second running back was Mark Ingram. That's the reason why now my second running back is Brandon Jacobs. Like I said, we had to make some moves. Receivers, we had Demaryius Thomas who did well. We had Danny Amendola this week. He did, you know, 10 points. We're not a PPR league. So basically, it's yards. He got 10 points. Jimmy Graham, again, not the game we were expecting, but 10 points from him. We had Ryan Bullock as our kicker, and we had the Minnesota defense, which got us 3 points. Nothing fancy about this one. I'm not thrilled with the way we drafted with this particular team, but Listen, we're 1-0. I think we can do a lot of damage in this league. So it's just outscore. Hopefully, the guys we get outscore teams are playing.
And that was our, I guess, our fantasy football report. But starting next week, our friends over at Monday Morning Hangover will be doing a almost like an extra pick segment for us. So they'll be on every single week throughout the season.
And we'll be able to downplay their moves because, you know, really I should be doing it. But I'm not contracted by that, so we'll let these guys do it. But they're good. They know what they're talking about. I just love one.
Anyways, 760-23-0846. Let's move on to Major League Baseball. And, you know, we can talk about what's really going on with the playoffs. I was laughing with the Showalter-Girardi exchange. I know you weren't. I know you found that whole thing to be sad and ridiculous.
No, I actually thought it was great watching two guys who were not that good playing the sport that they manage going at it. You saw Showalter, well, I can't say what he said, but we saw what he said. I only just found out recently what it was that the argument was about. And it's one of these things where, like, it's great to think that people are stealing signs. I would love to see someone prove it. But, I mean, at that point, just let them go at it. Why not? We let the players go at it during bunch training. Paul, as long as we let Girardi and Showalter have at it, that would have made the game more interesting.
I agree with you. That's funny. It's, you know, it's great stuff. That's good comedy. For those who have not heard, Derek Jeter done for the season. What a nightmare! It's not a nightmare. Isn't his contract up?
No. I think he has another year to go. But he's already said he has no plans on retiring. He's gonna be one of these guys that every fan of the Yankees is gonna talk great about him until it's way too late. And he's going to be a detriment to the team because he won't leave on his own. And he'll probably have to suffer another major injury for him to take off the uniform and be done with it. If I was him, and listen, he can do no wrong in this area. But in this new world that we live in right now where people are basically, what have you done for me lately kind of people, I don't really think long and hard about maybe after your contract is up about just letting it go. Because I don't think Derek Jeter wants to be in that situation where he is not as loved as he can be because he just will not hang him up. Listen, he has this thing in his head that he's just going to, you know, he's going to get better, you know, he's going to come back to his old standard. But I'm sorry, but I don't see that. I don't see how anyone could think that, you know, anyone with, you know, any sort of rational thinking can think that Derek Jeter is going to be better than ever when he comes back, because that's just not possible. He's getting older. The same thing you can say about Alex Rodriguez can easily be said about Derek Jeter.
Let's get some more insight on this call. Real Sports Talk Radio. Welcome to here. Who's this?
Hey, how you doing, guys? This is Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good. I just wanted to touch up on the Derek Jeter subject, actually. I didn't get a comment that you can compare Jeter and A-Rod because one's clean and one is allegedly dirty. But the one thing I wanted to say about Jeter, not only does it look like his career, well, we know it's on the decline. It may be over at this point as far as, you know, a successful career is. But I'd like to see what you guys think. I've always been under the impression that while Jeter's a great player, he's an even better leader. I just think he might be a little bit overrated. I think his stats and his achievements come from just being put in this great organization and being surrounded by, you know, just talent, you know, guys who are better, more talented than him, and, you know, the team that spent the most money. I just think if he was on the Pirates for the longest time, you know, if he was drafted by, you know, Houston, I think we'd be talking he wouldn't even be in a conversation as the best shortstop of all time.
I agree with you, and before I let Randy take this, I didn't mean to compare Jeter and A-Rod because we both know one's dirty, one's clean. But what I'm saying, though, is that right now they're both on the decline due to their age factors. But I agree with everything else that you said, though. Andy?
I think it's a double-edged sword. And the reason why is, Derek Jeter has more of a high profile because he is a member of the New York Yankees. He's the captain of the New York Yankees. And he played for a Pittsburgh Pirates team or an Arizona Diamondback team, probably wouldn't be hearing too much about it. The fact of the matter is he's got a certain amount of championship rings, and he's also led this team for a long time. Now, his stats are not overwhelming, It might be one of those few players they put into the Hall of Fame, not by his numbers, but just by his presence. You know, still, if you go around the league of, to really not be sports fans, to the casual sports fans, and you ask them to name a baseball player right now, Derek Jeter is still the first name that comes up because I think he's still the most notable player in baseball.
But no, I completely understand that and I get that. But then again, I also don't think that merits a Hall of Fame, you know, candidate. Then again, he's going to make it based off his stats. You did say that they weren't overwhelming, and I think you're correct there. And you guys actually didn't overdo it. The reason I'm a little lower on here than the average baseball fan, and partially because of my hatred for the Yankees, and mainly because
I'm... Mike, who do you root for?
The Braves.
Oh, okay.
So I'm actually, you know, I respect the Yankees. I just, it's more jealousy than anything else, I'll admit it. But I just think, you know, and I'm, like I said, I'm lower on them, and you guys actually, you weren't as high as I thought you were going to be, or as most, you know, just not only casual, but diehard Yankee fans are. It's just that when you bring up that argument, it's just all they mention is the rings, which, okay, Homer Bush has more World Series rings than Derek Jeter. It's not to say all end all, you know. So that's what I just wanted to make that point. So. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, that's a fair point.
And, Mike, I'll bring up something else to you. You know, there's been this clamoring about Don Mattingly wanting to go, going into the Hall of Fame. Again, part of that, too, he was a Yankee when it was less successful time than Jeter had. And he was the reason to go see the Yankees. But he's not in the Hall of Fame right now for a reason. So, Jeter... Jeter's going to be going off of reputation and rings. His numbers certainly do not match up. Right now, his numbers are accumulating through the years, not because of how great of a player he is.
No, you're right. You're completely right. And it's actually, I think we all know that Don Mattingly is a more talented player. So like you said, that's the only place I'm going with that. And that's pretty much the only place I can knock Derek Jeter in his really successful career. Like I said, I go over the top to try to bring down the Yankees as best I can. So I'm thoroughly enjoying the season, especially as a Braves fan. So, all right, guys, you take it over.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for joining us.
Take care. You know what? It's great to hear someone, you know, call who you know comes with a different perspective. Obviously, that guy is calling from Snow Anthem fan. He did not like what he was saying, but you know what? He brought up some valid points. I think, you know, in this particular part of the area, we do overhype Jeter to a point. And listen, full disclosure, obviously, if you know me, I'm a Mets fan. We all know this. And I respect what Derek Jeter has done. But at the same time, I think people need to realize that Derek Jeter, you know, is not the end-all-be-all when it comes to baseball. He fits the mold of the team that he's with. But what I do wonder, what Mike brought up, and I think it's a valid point, I always wonder what would have been if Derek Jeter got drafted by anyone else other than the Yankees. Would he be the captain that we all see over here in the day in and day out situation? So I think sometimes, and I know it's an argument you can't make because we'll never know, but I think that's a valid argument. You know, you can make the case, you know, that he's only talked about as well as he is because he was on the Yankees. I sometimes wonder how it wouldn't be talked about if he was on the Mets. You know, so it's like, same area, but different team.
I'll be honest with you, man. The Mets, I believe the odds should get it.
Oh, yeah. I think what the writers did this year was a joke. That's a travesty.
Another part of it, let's talk Yankees real quick, is also getting in.
No.
Two games back.
They're not getting in.
Two games back.
They're not getting in. We discussed this.
Are you saying that as a Mets fan? Are you saying that
no.
as a
guy? No. For all you Yankee fans, this is how the season's going to end. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to love it. Every Yankee fan is going to be in shock. And everyone will be... No one will be able to wake up the next day. It's going to hurt so much that you will not be able to go to work for 3 days after this scenario plays out. And I'm going to tell you how it's going to play out.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm just going through the schedule first. I want to check the schedule first. Okay. As you know...
Okay, check the schedule. Are you going to throw win-loss?
No. I'm just going to tell you point blank. The Yankees' last 3 games of the year this season take place in Houston. I will tell you that the Yankees will still be fighting for a chance to get in. This is what's going to happen. Sunday in the afternoon, the game's at 2:10. That might be local time. Alex Rodriguez will come up in the top of the ninth with the Yankees trailing 5-4 with a runner on third. He will have three balls, two strike count on him after falling off four or five pitches. He will park one into that train track section over in whatever they call that stadium now in Houston. And the Yankees will take a 6-5 lead. But Mo Rivera to come into the bottom of the ninth and close out this game and continue his illustrious career into the postseason. Only to then see Mo Rivera give up a squirm of a hit and then on the very next pitch, a shot over center field in Houston. So the Yankee season ends on Mo Rivera's shoulder. That's how the season's going to end. Because that's how it would likely be. We all talked bad about A-Rod. A-Rod almost single-handedly saved the season that one swing in the bottom of the ninth, in the top of the ninth, excuse me, only for Mariano Rivera to blow it in the bottom of the ninth. That's how this season has gone for the Yankees, and that's how it's probably going to end. And I kid you not, I don't like that ending for the Yankees, but as a Mets fan, I will be in utter, like, taking crap sort of syndrome for the next week after that happens.
Says the man says the fan of the team that's 17 games back of the wild card.
Hey, I knew my team was going to be good. You Yankee fans said your team was going to win the World Series this year. Wait, what talent they had? No idea, but that's what I was told. But that's how the season's going to end. Randy, I'm telling you, that's how it's going to go. Because that's what it's coming out to be. Now, I don't know if you heard this or not. I was told on Twitter that if the Yankees are eliminated from the playoffs, Mariano Rivera would not make an appearance in that Houston series. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told. So look out for that. So if people are going to those games hoping to see Mariano for one last time, other than like a pregame ceremony they might likely have for him over there, you may not see him in that series if the Yankees are eliminated. That's what I was told. Now, Derek Jeter is off for the rest of the year. I actually am not kind of rooting for the Yankees to make the playoffs, though, because I would love the Yankees to make the playoffs without Derek Jeter. Because that would just make me even happier.
If you imagine Yankees fans going to the playoffs without Derek Jeter in your lineup and winning a World Series.
You know, most people will tell you that Derek Jeter hasn't really done much for the Yankees for the playoffs the last couple of years anyway, so really it's probably not that big a deal.
He actually was not bad. Was it last season he had like a career high and,
he only played one series last year in the playoffs.
No, I'm talking about the regular season. He had, like, in the 300s.
Yeah, so, I think everyone felt bad for him.
All right, wild card, Texas and Tampa own the last two spots. Baltimore game and a half back. Yankees have only two games back, so it's not like it's crazy.
I think the beating they took last weekend killed it for them, though.
You and I were talking about that off air, of how Boston, if they would have somehow gotten another game out of that series, it would have been a different type of conversation. But you're getting a half back from Tampa, so and you're playing Baltimore, so you can pick up another game ahead of you tonight. If you can be behind Tampa. And then you have a series against Tampa, who they struggled mightily against.
Yeah.
So,
the problem with the Yankees is that they have too many teams they have to overcome. That's the problem.
Well, they have to get past Baltimore and Tampa.
Well, but no, there's other teams involved, though. I mean, I know they got you. I know you're worried about the teams in the front, but you got a lot of teams in the back that are not that far off you. Cleveland and the Yankees are tied, basically. And I don't know how the tiebreaker works, but I'm sure the Yankees probably own it.
The Yankees own the season series against Cleveland.
Is that the tiebreaker, though?
Yes.
Okay. But then you still got Cleveland, though. You still got Kansas City. I think everyone else is pretty much done. I don't think any other team is going to make a miracle run. If you want to say the Angels, maybe, because they have Mike Trout, maybe, but that's probably not likely going to happen. So basically, it's Kansas City on up from that point on. That's not a team you got to contend with.
You know, a real quick side note to this. During the during spring training, you and I had talked about multiple teams. And for those who are just joining in for the first time on a Wednesday night with us, we were on Sundays, and then we moved over to Fridays, and now we're taking over Wednesday nights. You and I both had higher hopes for Toronto, and with the money that the Angels spent in the offseason, both teams, nothing but disappointment.
I think we both had that caveat, though, that we had a funny feeling that Toronto was either going to be really good or really bad. So I think we both did have that caveat out there, that there was a chance that that could happen. As far as the Angels, yeah, that's a mess. That's a situation where it's either the general manager's got to go and Jerry DePoto, I'm butchering that name, I apologize, or Mike Sosa. Both were former players. Jerry DePoto was a pitcher, and Mike Sosa was a catcher, obviously, but I believe one was more dominantly American League player and Sosa was in the National League. But they have a difference of opinion on style of play, and you can tell that the type of players that they have right now are not the type of players that Sosa would necessarily want. Now, let's be honest, though. I don't think anyone would argue that getting Albert Pujols was a good decision. I mean, that was a good decision. But Albert's body has given up on him. You can tell. His body is starting to break down. And this is the same issue the Yankees are going to come into play with Robinson Cano. Because he wants a 10-year deal. And I don't know if your 10-year deal...
I don't
want
to give him a 10-year deal. If I'm the Yankees,
what are you going to do then? What's your lineup going to look like next year? I mean, you can't bank on Teixeira being healthy ever again because he's been banged up the last couple of years.
I think the love affair with Mark Teixeira has officially ended.
Well, you can't just get rid of him.
I understand that, but I'm saying that the love affair with him between him and the fans is over.
I don't think it was ever there.
He had a couple playoff games and some big moments for them over the last couple of years.
Part of what Mark Teixeira is that he has a lower version of Ike Davis disease where he can't hit the first month and a half of the season, but eventually he comes around. Ike Davis just has full-blown suckitis for the whole year.
I just learned that Jason Hamby's still playing. He even had milestones.
You didn't know that?
I thought he was gone. I was even in Colorado
for the last year. You want to know about Jason Giambi? I've heard this from many people that when Jason Giambi retires, he will be managing a club very soon. And in fact, if it wasn't for the fact that Terry Francona got the Cleveland job, Jason Giambi was going to get the Cleveland job. That's how highly well-regarded he is thought of as far as managerial skill.
He's in
Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
In Cleveland, yeah. That's, everybody ends up in Cleveland. All of us leave to Cleveland. So that's where we are with baseball as far as the Yankees are concerned. The Mets, I don't really think there's a lot of news of what to talk about right now with that.
Well, no, right now they're putting on a minor league team out there at the moment. They're just trying to see what they got for next year, waiting to find out if Matt Harvey's going to pitch next year or if he's going to just take the Tommy John surgery and be out for the year. Again, listen, if you were a Mets fan, you were looking forward to next year because that was the year that everyone was expecting, and the Matt Harvey injury definitely was a blow because it pretty much New Year's your chance of getting a real good player via trade because now you really can't trade your stock pile of pitchers because you do need to have a pitcher out there. And listen, the Mets got quality pitching in the minors. We know this. Everyone knows this. Everyone I ever spoke to on Twitter about this will tell you that the Mets minors are stocked with good pitching. It's the position players that are a problem. You know, they drafted Nemo. They drafted Dominic Smith the last few years. They had this kid, Cesar Puello. It's in the minors, but he got busted in that pandemic situation. So, you know, we're not really sure where he's at right now. But he would have been the MVP of the Eastern League if he would have been able to play the whole year. But the Mets minors did well this year, so there's hope. There's hope, but still a couple more years to go, I think. Another baseball thing, though, real fast, and then we'll probably move on to something else in that Yankee situation. For you Yankee fans, you're going to be on WFAN right now. You're going to be able to talk to that person all the time. Isn't that lovely? What's that, Andy?
That's the problem with Jack Daniels is talking.
And, you know, for those who don't know, the Mets are no longer going to be affiliated with WFAN this year, after this year. They have not picked the new president yet. I have it on authority. It's not good authority, but I have it on authority that they are not going to ESPN, which is what was widely speculated. It won't be ESPN. So most likely be WOR or CBS, basically the station that had the Yankee games. So people are taking this as a sign of, like, Armageddon if you're a Mets fan. Like, it's just another bad thing. It's the radio station, people. Get over it. It doesn't matter where you're listening to the game. You're still going to get the same announcers. So it doesn't matter if they're on WFAN or if they're on CBS or WOR, whatever. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Being on WFAN really hasn't helped the Mets over the last 26 years. So leaving may not be the worst thing in the world.
I don't like John Sterling and Susan Waltman.
Too bad, because they're coming over.
Yeah, I know.
You're not getting Howie Rose.
John Sterling doesn't bother me that much, but Susan Waltman has that, like, you know, gossip woman from the supermarket voice.
I think they're both horrible. If there's one thing the Mets have over the Yankees, it's their broadcast teams. There's not a rational person who will tell you that the Yankee broadcast teams
Howie Rose
better
is
than
awesome.
Howie Rose is good. I'm not a big fan of Josh Lewis, but he's okay. He's probably the weak link. And, of course, the broadcast TV team, they're outstanding. I mean, they're by far the best. They're one of the best. I don't want to say they're the best, but they're one of the best. And they're by far better than anything that the ESPN puts out there.
You're thinking, okay, you're saying this. I actually like Michael Cave more as a radio host than I do as the Yankees broadcaster.
I could just do without him entirely.
I'm
not a big fan of his. I just think he's a little bit too arrogant and smug for someone who tries to be down the line, as our good friend Phil Alfonso used to say over at ECW.
Phil Alfonso.
Does not exist.
We have a Phil Alfonso reference tonight.
ECW. But, no, I mean, but seriously, I mean, the only other announcers in baseball who might be worse are the guys covering the Nationals and the guy that does Hawk Harrelson from the White Sox. I mean, there's never been more Homer baseball announcers. I don't know who. I mean, but those two groups in particular are troubling when it comes to unobjective talk. And Michael Kay, listen, he's basically a shill. I don't mean to speak bad of the guy. I don't know him personally, but he just comes up as a guy that's just a show. He reads the tea leaves. He's smart enough to read the tea leaves, so he knows what is expected of him to say. He doesn't need anything given to him because he knows. He's smart enough to figure out what his people who pay him want him to say. There's a talent, and there's a talent for that. I mean, that's a good talent to have.
I agree with you. There's a couple of little news and notes that we have to go over, if you don't mind.
Yes.
We were talking about the Jim Ross story before we went on the air, but we'll hold that off towards the end. I don't know if you saw the Phoenix Suns waived Michael Beasley during the All-Star season.
And Miami
Heat just picked him up. You heard the trash talking during the offseason about the team to beat in the Eastern Conference and the Knicks and the Nets, and we've had this conversation a little bit.
Both teams just need to shut up.
Because
neither one of them is that good.
Paul Pierce is mouthing off to J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith is doing drugs and getting himself suspended. And
yeah, thanks a lot, J.R., by the way, you jackass. God. Really, what are you doing? Stop doing drugs. Thank
you,
role model.
Who are you doing drugs? Like
and
that?
Excuse my language. I'm trying to be better with it, but I mean, like, I don't understand what some of these guys are thinking. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, JR, you're really going to be out for a certain amount of time because of your knees, to begin with the surgery and everything. We don't need you missing more time now because you're going to be a dope, for pun intended, there.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. At this point, J.R. Smith just sort of keep his mouth shut. I think I had disagreement about Bargnani and what he's bringing to that team this year.
I'm not sure what Bargnani's going to bring. I will say this. If Bargnani can average anywhere between 13 and 20 points a game, it will be a good pickup for the Knicks. They'll find a way to mask his defensive lack of talent. And again, though, defense is only as much hustle as you put into it. You don't need to be ultra-athletic to be a good defensive player. You just need to be able to put forth the effort. You put forth the effort, the defense will be fine. So it's just a question. But you know me. I've never been a fan of these foreign players from Europe coming over into the league. I've never been a fan. It took me a long time to really, you know, caught up with Danilo Gallinari. You know, I was very skeptical of that pick, and it was all part of the Mike D'Antoni era. Pun there, definitely intended. Another thing that we didn't see, though, but by the way, Michael Beasley, not 1 year non-guaranteed. Wow.
Well,
circle for Michael Beasley going back to Miami, though. It happened. He signed. I mean, but it's
Let me ask you another question, and I'm not going to start jumping into this speculation.
Yeah.
With LeBron and Decision 2.0 and all this other stuff. So I think he handled everything the right way. I think he said he's not focused on the free agency. He'll deal with it after the season. He only wants to focus on the season. Now, you know,
yeah.
In every city he goes to this year, people are going to say, LeBron, so where are you going next year? What's that? What's going on with that? You know, you're opting out? What's going on? He's going to have to address it.
I'm sure.
Obviously, he just put in a statement this week saying, you know, we'll deal with it. Do you think when training camp starts, he should answer as many questions as he can by sitting there saying, I'd rather not talk about this right now. We're focusing on the season. Please don't bring up any more free agent questions.
Just answer it during the beginning of the year before the games start, and then after that, if anyone asks, just be like, next question. Listen. If Drew Wojnarowski do it, so can LeBron James.
Look, now I'm going to ask you one more question about this, and then we'll leave it alone. And I'll give you my opinion, but I want to get yours. So, everything looks now. Does he stay a member of the Miami Heat?
I'm going to give you four options, and then I'll leave it be. But they'll be short. I'm not even going to give you, like, reason. I'm just going to give you the four teams I think you could end up with when everything is said and done. Back in Miami, New York, Cleveland, Los Angeles, Lakers.
Which one do you think he'll lean towards? I'm asking, I'll give you my opinion, I'll give you my breakdown in a minute, but where?
I think if it can make it work somehow, I could see him ending up in New York with or without Carmelo, because Carmelo is also a free agent in that class as well. If Carmelo leaves, I think there's an even better chance that LeBron goes to New York. But if you put a gun to my head, and I have to say for sure, I don't think he's going to stay in Miami.
Okay.
So I'm not ruling them out, because maybe it's just not worth leaving for him. But I honestly think it could be Miami, New York, go back to Cleveland, or Los Angeles, and take over Kobe Bryant's spot over there. My second thing, though, is that I think he will go to New York. I think him winning a title in New York will just completely take his legacy to the next level. And I'm telling you, it won't be Brooklyn. I'll tell you why it won't be Brooklyn. I don't see how Brooklyn can make it work without dismantling that team even more than they already did.
I'm going to throw this about this. I'll go with LeBron first and then work backwards here. All right, I'll work backwards. I'll go Brooklyn to LeBron. What Brooklyn did is try to enhance Prokhorov's 5-year plan. He said in 5 years he wanted a championship. The first 2 years were futility in Newark. The next year was the last season was being eliminated by Chicago in the first round of the playoffs, which, by the way, the Bulls just blatantly outplayed the Nets.
And I thought the Nets would win that series.
And you were surprised when I said when I picked Bulls in 6 ended up being Bulls in 7. And that's coming from a Nets fan. You know, I'm being realistic and honest by looking at what's going on. This team they put together this year worries the crap out of me as a Nets fan, as someone who's behind the scenes and knows what's going on a little bit. I really, really, really don't like that starting five, because you're asking Jason Kidd to coach this team and say, we have to share the ball. So if a point guard who doesn't like to pass the ball, the adult has to share the ball. Joe Johnson and Paul Pierce can combine for 60 shots a game. He's going to have to Kevin Garnett, and he also have a name of Brook Lopez, who sort of came into his own last year, who played very well.
If this was a video game, this would be the greatest lineup, but these lineups are not based on video game projections. And this is what I keep telling people. My office, when they talk about this, this Nets team is going to be so good. Really? I don't see how. I don't see how it's that good. This is a team that barely made it in the playoffs, basically, last year. I'm talking about the Boston guys, who got beat up pretty badly in the playoffs. And you're telling me that now this team, with the three, all these guys in the Celtics, they're going to lead you to the promised land?
You and I have had this discussion. I think the Eastern Conference still looks like this. I still think it's Miami 1, Chicago 2, Indiana 3. I'm going to go Brooklyn 4 and the Knicks 5.
So you're dropping the Knicks that far down.
I'm dropping the Knicks that far.
I don't buy that because I'm not so sure I'm sold on Chicago now because now you got to bring Derrick Rose back into the Knicks. And we don't know how Derrick Rose is going to play with these guys. I still think the Knicks will win the Atlantic Division. I don't think the Nets will because I'm going to tell you why. The part of those of that team that's not necessary. You're banking on to help you succeed could not pass the Knicks last year. So why would you think they're going to pass the Knicks next year? We're basically two guys of Boston that was in seventh place and the Nets who were in fourth place in the East. I just don't buy that.
I think it can be done. I think that's what they're going to end up. The five, the six seed, the 6-7-8 seed, I think Washington ends up six. And the seventh and eighth seeds are up in the air. I actually think the Bobcats could take one of those two spots.
You are on crack. Whatever you're smoking, pass along to Mr. Lindell because he wants some of that.
The seventh seed, we were down in Charlotte. They put a nice little team together. Kemba Walker, Al Jefferson, Kim Gilchrist. They have a nice little team. I think they'll make a small run. The Western Conference, and as far as LeBron goes, I'm sorry, before we jump to the West real quick, as far as LeBron goes.
Where do you think he's going to end up?
I think it's the same choices as you. I can't see him staying in Miami for one particular reason. That team is getting older. And I think the lifeline is disappearing. I think that Cleveland is a very interesting option for him. We have the best producer ever.
I'm eating!
I should take a picture of you and get a peanut butter cup and put that online. The New York thing, I just can't picture him and Melo together in New York. I can picture Melo picking up and going to L.A.
And that's why I think that comes into play. I think Melo and LeBron could play together, though.
I think anybody can play with LeBron James to be successful. I will tell you that.
I think it would be beneficial to Carmelo.
For the fact that LeBron has grown up on the East Coast in Cleveland and moved to Miami and so on and so forth, I don't see him going to Los Angeles, going cross-country. Carmelo wants a career out in L.A. after he's done playing. So I see that in a different standpoint. But
I think Austin depends on what they do with Stoudemire.
Possibly. I think when Stoudemire's contract's up after this year, you're never going to hear from him again.
Yeah. Let me answer your question, because you're more into this than I am, and then we should probably move on to like our last-minute things here. Could the Knicks theoretically sign LeBron James and then sign Carmelo and be over the salary cap because of the bird rights? But it is possible for them to sign LeBron and...
They can end up in New York, and they can also end up both in
Los Angeles.
Have Kobe sign for the minimum and have those three play together.
Yeah.
That would be...
All right, so what would you put all those three guys in? Because that's a cluster.
Well, let us learn from the Lakers and the Rockets. The Rockets from 99 and the Lakers from 2004. Let us learn from that and not try and put these super teams together. In 1999, the Houston Rockets put Charles Barkley, Kim Olajuwon, Scottie Pippen, and Clyde Drexler together, and it fell apart. That seems.
But those guys are old.
Right, but there's still the idea of playing those guys together. Houston was 2 years removed from a championship.
Charles Barkley is just one of those guys that's never going to win a title, just like Patrick Ewing. I think it was just like preordained. Yeah, Charles, come at me.
And then in Los Angeles, you had Kobe, Gary Payton.
He went to a final.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter that they went to the finals. That Kobe made that team self-destruct.
I think they ran into a really good Detroit team.
Yeah, they ran into a Detroit team that was on fire. There's that. As far as what you're saying about the Knicks with Bargnani, they had J.R. Smith and they had Carmelo Anthony consistently putting points up last year. If they can get 12 to 15 points out of Bargnani, that's consistent, that's a third score.
think you'll get that out of him if he's healthy.
I think it's going to work fine with him. I think we're going to take a ride up to the next training camp to find this out.
Let me know how it goes. Jose doesn't travel. Jose has a hard time just coming here.
Strict no Jose rule.
Well, that one time I hit the guy that was in the backstage, and, you know, anyway. Plus, Jose doesn't like to travel. He has a hard time coming over here.
And just to recap of some of the things we talked about tonight, we talked about the Giants' loss against the Cowboys. I'm looking forward to the Denver Broncos this week. The Manning Bowl, Eli versus Peyton. We established that the Yankees definitely do have their work cut out for them. If they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be doing it without Derek Jeter the rest of the way, and Derek has just been put on the injury reserve for the rest of the season.
Oh, no!
We've also established that LeBron James has gotten more help with Michael Beasley coming over to the team this year. Beasley can score in bunches. That's certainly not the...
He's also going to be helping in the pass give.
We've also established that we don't have a different opinion between the Knicks and the Nets on how they're going to do this year. And we've also established that Jose does dance like Miley Cyrus. So that's the...
I talked before.
It was disgusting, folks. It was disgusting. So that's where we are at right now. Now, Jose, we are Real Sports Talk Metro Radio.
You got it in finally.
I finally got it right. That took me the first 10 minutes of the show. I'm like, Real Sports Talk Radio Metro, that's not it.
You want me to explain the Metro part to the audience?
I would love for you to explain it to the audience.
All right. I'm going to give you guys the unequivocal truth. Essentially, me and Randy do not want to do this on Friday night because we have a life. Plus the fact that our significant others just want us for Fridays. I think our producer agrees with that, right? Yes. So she's on board with this, and so is my wife. So even Randy was trying to figure out a way to do the show that is more constructive and better suited to our strengths, and we both decided that maybe a more open discussion kind of show would be better suited for us. So Randy did say to me, though, like, if we're going to do this show, we have to really steamroll this, so to speak, you know, streamline. So one of the topics that came up is, well, are we going to be trying to do a national show or are we going to keep it local? And we saw with Randy's knack for getting contacts and everything, we felt that local would be a better way because it would be easier for us. Thank you. To get the local contacts, but still with the intent of also always bringing in people from other cities, you know, when breaking stuff happens, you know, like biblical proportions stuff that needs to be addressed. But we're, you know, because Randy is good at what he does, so we're still going to be able to get guys in from different cities if, you know, need be. We're going to do a fantasy segment starting next week. We're also going to be doing a college segment starting next week as well, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. So we decided that for the knitting gritty of it all, we're going to keep it a local base. So that's why we basically talk about the Giants, the Jets, Mets, Yankees, Knicks, Nets. That's going to be our intent. We're really, like, getting into that stuff. But we don't even want to get into the whole thing about what was the score, what happened. That's not our thing. But our thing is going to be is to bring in an open dialect of sorts. So when you guys call in, you know, we already know what the game what happened to the game. It has already been discussed for 2 days ad nauseum. What the point of this is to have open debate to what can possibly happen next week. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen, you know, down the line, you know, towards the end of the season and stuff like that. We don't need to be good to take stats at you. You guys know it. We know it. It annoys the hell out of me when Randy does it, especially for salary. So we're eliminating the metric of that all. We just want honest opinion. What are you seeing out there? What do you hear when you're driving and listening to these games? What are you seeing when you're at home or when you're at the game? That's what we want to bring up. That's what we want to talk about. What are we seeing? Because that's really what it comes down to. So stats are stats. But what are we seeing? And that's the whole point of the show, you know, going forward. And Metro, because we're going to keep it Metro, you know. But it's kind of a play on words if you think about it, because while it could technically be a New York area kind of show, I consider it more just to be a show that deals with local, and it could be any local area we choose to talk about that day. But I mean, obviously, it would be more New York driven, obviously. New York, New Jersey. I'm being politically correct there. So we hope you guys like it. Like I said, we're going to have more stuff. Randy's going to play around. We're going to have great guests because, listen, Randy is really good at that when it comes to getting the guests on. You know, he's exceptional talent when it comes to bringing in, you know, guests that no one in our position should be getting. And I'm sure in the next couple of weeks you'll be very surprised by who we do get. We're also still going to keep in touch with great friends like Gabe Barry from ProFootballMock.net. If you have not been to the site, you should check it out. And, you know, always Charles Curtis from NJ.com will also always be here.
Charles, very excited for hockey season to come back on.
Yeah, and he's going to still be a fixture on this station, you know, on this show as well. And, you know, just want to bring a, hopefully that will bring a lot to the table, you know. You know, there's a lot of options you guys have, obviously, and, you know, a lot of times you guys don't listen to our show live or you get it on the download, but we want to make the show as relevant as possible, and that one of the ways of doing that is doing the show the way we're doing right now. It's more of an open dialogue. Today was not so much because it's the first time doing the show today under this new sort of format, but as the weeks go by, you know, you will tend, you will see more that we will be less and less into the sport scoring and all that stuff and more into, like, the aftermath of it, you know, the beforehand and, you know, what led up to all those situations. So we hope you enjoy it. We really, really do. You know, I think it's going to be something that everyone's going to like. You know, we hope more people start calling. We had a caller today. You know, I like the, and like I said, just open dialogue. That's what we're encouraging. That's what we're trying to do here. And we hope it's a successful venture. If not, then Jose's going to opt out of his contract and then Randy will have to find a new host. Anything else you want to add there, Mr. Z?
I'm sorry, can you start again? I wasn't listening.
Oh, sure. No, but we hope, yeah, but we're still going to have the same humor we always have, guys. I mean, we have fun doing this show.
Just to expand on that, you know, Real Sports Talk Radio.
Metro.
Real Sports Metro.
You'll get it,
Sports, Real Sports Talk Metro Radio. We're growing, and of course, you know, we do have other shows on the network. We have Monday Morning Hangover, which is live every Thursday. Don't ask me why Monday Morning Hangover is on Thursday. I like it. I like Anthony John. They do an excellent job. They're working extremely hard to do the best fantasy football show they can do. And so we're very lucky to have them with us to be live with us. Seth is on every Tuesday night from 7 to 8. Talking Sports with Mike T every Monday afternoon from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. Listen to Beyond the Benches every Sunday, hosted by Ryan Stern. And he's on at a new time at 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, right before the leads you into the NFL games for the week. And, of course, Real Sports Talk Metro Radio every Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30.
We have the longest running show. Second
longest.
Oh, who has more than us?
Seth and Sean have been on since the beginning.
I was talking about, like, as far as length of the show goes, like, time-wise.
Time-wise, yeah, we're the longest show. We are the longest show, and I think once the season gets a little further in, once the basketball season and the hockey season, football is going in one shot, we might be able to expand it out a little bit, go to 2 hours if need to be. NBA guests that are going to be joining us during the season, Kenny Anderson will be back this upcoming year. Jerome Williams, former NBA player, will join us.
JYD
is a dangerous player, man. He's a great guy to have on with us. One guest that I'm really going to be looking forward to, of course, Ian Eagle will be back with us, so he's going to come on once or twice. But Chris Carino, who's going to be the voice of the Nets, and Spiro Didis will be the voice of the Knicks, will be coming on with us. So we'll be able to go talk with them. So we're trying to get a few more. I'm really, for Jose's sake, I'm trying to get Clyde Frazier to come on. Just so we can start saying big words that Jose doesn't understand. So
you mean Randy doesn't understand? Jose uses big words. He does this out for the show.
It's not about me, my friend. It's not about me. So, but we have some great guests coming on. We also have some other things happening. There will be some nice surprises. Real quick, you and I had discussed about it right before we went on the air. Jim Ross, longtime voice of the WWE, officially retired today. From reports, the way it looked like the behind-the-scenes news is that Vince sat down with JR. They were discussing a panel they had about the new 2K14 video game, and apparently Jim Ross and Ric Flair were both not in the top shape of condition. So that's probably one of the reasons I think he just didn't renew his contract, and Jim Ross wouldn't go to TNA or anywhere else like that. So I think he's calling it a career. JR does a great job on broadcasting football games, if you ever heard him do it.
Yeah.
And same thing with basketball games. He helps out with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Jim Ross is a class act, one of my favorites growing up. I'm certainly going to miss him. So that's my general feeling on that. You've watched wrestling for a long time, too.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. Real quick, guys, because we're going to end shortly, just also want to send our, you know, send our best wishes and our prayers and condolences to anyone who has had to deal with anything with the 9/11 attacks. Obviously, today is the anniversary, I believe the 12th year anniversary of it. So to anyone who's had to deal with it, you know, we just send much prayers and much respect. Hope that today has not been too much of a gruel on you, and best wishes from the Real Sports Talk family.
Charles Anthony, I'm Ray Zelia.
Take it deep.
Take it deep. All right. It's on recording now. I can edit this part out. But let's just, you want to cut a promo so I can cut it?
Yeah.
Okay.
How you want
to? Let's do it this way. You can improvise then.
Follow your lead.
Yeah, just follow my lead.
I won't get crazy though. I'll try to keep it as serious as possible.
I have. If people listen to this, they're gonna hear this. So that on the archive.
Alright, so I'll make sure that.
Yeah. So folks get to listen to a real promo get made here. All right.
This is great.
This is great.
So professional.
I'm gonna just say, you know. Listen to this is Randy and Jose from Real Sports Talk Metro Radio. Listen to us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30, exclusively here on the Real on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Real Sports Talk Radio. And I'll point to you, and then you know you can give your Twitter feed, and I'll give my Twitter feed. Yeah. As you. You can do that. You can do whatever you want. Like, I want to make sure I give out the information, and I'll be like, well, I'll start off with the guess what, Jose, we moved, and then yeah, all right. And Jose, guess what?
What's up, bro?
Real Sports Talk Radio has moved over to Wednesday nights from 7 to 8:30. That's where Real Sports Talk Metro Radio can be heard every Wednesday night on the Back Sports Page Radio Network from 7 to 8:30. You can follow both me and Jose on Twitter and Facebook. Our Facebook is facebook.com/Real Sports Talk Radio, and you can follow me, Randy Zelia, on Twitter at RandyBSP, and you can follow Jose
AngryJose15.
Check us out every single week on the Back Sports Page Radio Network, Real Sports Talk Metro Radio.
When you want the action, you got it. You want the fun, you got it. If you want me to beat up on Randy, you definitely got it.
Thank God I'm editing that up. Want to do one more? What do you think? Want me to add anything? Most important thing is we moved to Wednesday nights, Facebook. And I'll make sure to check the show every Wednesday morning for what's happening for our show. Then. Hey, Jose, guess what?
What's up, bro?
We switched days. We're...
Yes, man, I'm over. You want me to set that part up and then you lead into it? You want to say, hey, Randy, I went to do our show on Friday, but all of a sudden I got a note saying that we're not on Wednesday. Not, you know.
Awful. All right, you ready? Hey, Jose, guess what?
What up, Randy?
Real Sports Talk Metro Radio has officially moved to Wednesday nights from 7 to 8:30.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Check out myself, Randy Zelia, and Jose Padilla. Every Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m., exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. You can find out all the information for the show on facebook.com/Real Sports Talk Radio or follow us on Twitter at Back Sports Page, or you can follow me at RandyBSP or
at AngryJose15.
Check out all of our social media networks for all the information. That's Real Sports Talk Radio every Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
I like that one. I like that one.